Perfect. Now I have your number. Thanks.
Hey, I'm Robbie Kramer. You're listening to the Leverage Podcast, where we discuss using your social skills to hack dating, travel, finding your dream job, and becoming a complete man.
All right, guys, welcome back. You may have heard of this dude. He is huge on social media right now. One of the most dynamic, cool, interesting, and youngest dudes to hit the game scene in a long time. I've been always kind of looking out for new guys that I respect and who kind of teach authentic dating strategies. And Austin Summers is that guy. Austin, welcome to the podcast.
Yo, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, man. When did you get into game originally?
When I was 20 years old, I went mountain biking with my next door neighbors. And I broke my metatarsal, like a bone in your foot. And I basically went back to Florida to get surgery on it. And I was just sitting in front of the computer, just watching YouTube videos. Couldn't really do anything because I couldn't even walk. And my sister's friend was dating Vitaly at the time. So she recommended I check out his videos, and he was doing picking up girls video. I was like, holy fuck, this is crazy. I saw his collab with Simple Pickup, and then I went through all their videos, and then I found a guy named Paul Janka and just like binge watched his videos. And that's when I did my first approach. And yeah. And then I found Honest Signals, which is my old mentor. And I worked with him for 3 years. He was like the best I ever seen. So I just volunteered to work for him for free, learned through that way. I did 1 year of like solo backpacking, traveling around Europe and just kind of doing it on my own. And yeah. And then my results started to get better with the mentor. And then I basically started my own company in 2017. And I've been doing it ever since.
Nice. And you're based down in Miami, right? Running boot camp there and residentials and stuff.
Yeah. Now doing stuff in Miami. But I also do an academy program that's worldwide. But yeah, most of my students are from the U.S.
Nice. So what were you like before you started watching the YouTube videos? Were you like a shy kid growing up or outgoing?
So I'd say, you know, a lot of people have similar stories in game, but mine was more like a story of kind of trauma. Like when I was 12, my mom died. My stepdad kind of abandoned me, cut off contact. I didn't have the best relationship with my dad. When I was like growing up, I had to steal to eat basically, or I had to like go to my friend's house and have his mom cook me dinner basically. Never went shopping for clothes. Always had to like have my friends donate it and stuff like this. So I had like a great childhood, but a horrible adolescence, just an extremely traumatic experience. That kind of like fucked up my development to a certain extent. And I wasn't good with girls. I was off-putting to most people, kind of annoying. Hopefully I'm less annoying now. So it was just very off-putting. And I was kind of like if simp is a good word, because that's words used so much, but it was like I would literally go to girls' houses and like play guitar for them for hours and like do their dishes, and like they would never like even think of like hooking up with me pretty much.
Yeah, I was not too different. I do extra copies of my homework for chicks without them even asking, and all sorts of bullshit like that. Total simp.
Yeah.
That's brutal to happen as like a 12-year-old kid. When did you first kind of start learning about personal development? Was game the thing that got you into it, or were you?
It was probably just YouTube. Like I was watching YouTube videos. When I found out about game, I realized I was too fucked up to just do game. Basically started some self-development stuff, starting out meditating, socializing a bit more. I signed up for playing sports in my college, and yeah, I just did basic stuff like that. Working out a little bit more. I did basic stuff like that. And then I actually, one thing that really took it to the next level was I joined this company where basically it's like, you're a student. They teach you how to paint houses and run a team of painters and cold callers that do stuff. Signed up for that
shit when I was in my, like, I think they came and pitched us right out of university for me, maybe before that. I forget what it was called. Yeah. But yeah, you like paint houses and you make good money. What I remember.
Yeah. And I just, I was just like a cold calling, cold knocking on people's door, savage. Like I just went at it so hard, and like, just I learned so much from that that transferred into game as well. Because I think sales and game have so many parallels, like building rapport with the person, knowing when to break rapport, when to go for the close, telling like showing your value almost before asking the girl to make a decision on you. That like there's a bunch of different parallels. I do want to make a video on that at some point. But sales was a huge thing. And then my first approach was just huge. Like, I don't know about you, but my first approach, I went up. It was this cute black girl in the rain with an umbrella. And I had funny pickup lines that I wrote down from YouTube videos. And it was the time where Barack Obama was, he just got inaugurated or something. And so I said, hey, I asked Barack Obama if we could get together later. And he said, yes, we can. And so I don't know. I thought that was funny. So I told her, and she smiled, and then I ran away. And after that approach, my heart was just pounding. I was like, holy fuck, I did it. I was so amped. It was literally like that feeling I don't even get when I like have a threesome now, you know? It's just like people don't realize it. Dude, I would literally pay to unlearn game so that I could relearn it. Like that's how fun the process of learning game was for me. Cause it's just like every step of the way I learned that I could do something that I thought was impossible. So it's like, I thought it was impossible to approach a girl. I thought it was impossible that a girl would like me. And then a girl started liking me, and you know, I made out with the chick, and then I played with the girl's boobs, and I'm like, holy fuck, this whole world is possible simply by working at it and going up, approaching and chatting to girls. And yeah. And then I think game is, I'd say either game or meditation are the two most intense forms of self-development.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. If you're doing both of those, your life is going to be pretty damn good. If you can sit with yourself and sit with your thoughts, you know, that's not easy. And so I'm a big proponent of both as well. Did you, when you first started, because I talked to a lot of guys, you know, lots of clients, and so many of them kind of learn about game through YouTube or different social media channels, but they can't do an approach, you know, whatever reason, they just can't seem to do it. What was it about you? What do you think was watching the right videos? Cause I'm also a big fan of Vitaly, and I remember watching his videos back in the day. I even used one of his silly like lines to pull a threesome. You know, I would just kind of hear lines and same thing you were talking about. I'd write them down. I'd go out and try them. And I just kind of liked feeling like a scientist in a laboratory and going out and doing crazy shit. And, you know, I had buddies I could talk about this shit with, but I see that quite a bit where guys will, you know, just end up kind of being like, you know, keyboard jockeys or whatever. And yeah, they can't actually do an approach. How hard was that for you? Or what do you have to say about that?
Oh man, I'm just laughing. Cause I found, that I literally just took this. So it's like every dude on Reddit, actually.
That's great.
Yeah, I don't know. I think partially it's just my brain chemistry. I don't know if you know about the Helen Fisher models of brain. It's like, I'm like a very dopamine brain. I just want to explore and see what's possible and get out there. And I did have like 3 months of not taking action, which is 100% why I recommend anyone get a mentor. Because at the bare minimum, you're just going to save yourself some time, right? Like that's 3 months that I could have already been working on game. And like, if you're listening, think back, like for the past year, if you had been taking all the action that you know you should have been taking, imagine where you'd be right now. And how much would you pay to have done that? It's definitely going to be less than the cost of like getting a mentor. Sure. More than the cost of getting a mentor. So anyway, yeah, I just sacked up one day and I just said, you know what? Fuck it. I've seen enough proof based on videos and stuff. I want to see if it's possible myself. Like the first two girls I think I tried to approach, I couldn't bring myself to do it. And then the third one, I was just, you know what? Fuck it. Throw myself in. And that's literally my mentality to this day. It's just like, throw yourself in imperfectly and see what happens. You know, there's never a perfect moment. There's never a perfect time. You just got to do it. And if you're listening to this right now and you haven't done it, literally stop the video and just go watch it. Just go approach, do your first approach. But I think two things that help mm-hmm. is that number one, approaching is not the first step. Like, yeah. In my programs, I always break it down into what they do even before an approach. So what's something that's like an approach, but not with a hot girl? Well, it could be saying hi to a shopkeeper. It could be say hi to a guy. So you're working on any part of your brain takes like 15 minutes to warm up. So just by warming up the social aspect of who you are by talking to people and then going out, you're much more likely to do it. Versus if you're coding in Python and then you're like in this logical headspace, loading problems into your head, and then you want to shift into like being social and funny and witty with a hot girl. It's very unlikely to happen. So I'm a huge proponent in warming up. You don't need to do this. Like if you're a beginner, you should kind of execute it like a robot almost. But now I warm up by chatting to everyone. I just make sure I bring everyone into the fun. And that way, when I meet the girl, it's like, I'm already socialized. I've already warmed up my voice. My verbals are warmed up. My social skills are warmed up. I've already talked to a bunch of people. And then she's just the next step, as opposed to like, you know, okay, I'm all alone here. Because your brain is constantly pinging the environment to see how you like you belong in that environment, to see how people react to you. And it's a lot easier to approach a girl after that.
It's important to be loose. I think I was checking out some of your shit the other day, and it was either a video or a post on just the importance of being loose and not fucking formal, which is something I see this all the time with my clients, is they're so formal. Their text messages are formal. Everything they're doing is polite and formal. And if you can allow yourself to be loose and do those social freedom exercises and get out of your head, as you were mentioning, you know, that's when things start to get easy. So, and I like how you put that. I never heard the term loose used in that context before.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing I'd say is it's about how you view yourself. It's really like, if I gave you a bucket of shit to sell to your next door neighbor, you know, you'd be like, oh man, $100 for this bucket of shit. I don't know if I could sell that. You know, you feel anxiety about it. Meanwhile, if I gave you $1 million check to give it to your neighbor, holy fuck, you'd go in right in there confidently, give them that check. They'd fucking call their family in and be like, oh my God, you know? Yeah. So it's how you view yourself. You need to view yourself as like the $1 million check. Otherwise you're going to be Mr. Excuses, which I, you know what I'm going to make soon is, when my buddy comes back from Canada, I'm going to make, it's called, you know, you ever watch Dude Perfect and they have stereotypes?
Yeah, amazing.
So I'm going to do stereotypes pickup guys, and one's Mr. Excuses. It's like, oh, she's on the phone. Oh, she probably has a boyfriend. Oh, she's not my type. She's too old. She's too young. She's too hot. She's not hot enough. It's like, it's always, you're either building up your excuses or you're building up the action that you're taking, right?
Totally.
And it's kind of, I kind of also think about that at like Gary Vaynerchuk. He talks about hustle, and it's like, yeah, hustle's like an accepted part of any entrepreneurial effort. Like, you don't need to stress it so much. Like, approaching is just part of how you learn the skill of game, right? You know, approaching itself isn't going to get you good. You need to review it. You need to analyze it. You need to have people who are better than you tell you how to improve and work on the skill of game. Anyway, yeah. If I rant too much, cut me off.
What's that?
If I rant too much, cut me off. I'm Mr. Rant.
No, that's good shit, man. It sounds like the path you took was pretty similar to mine. You found a mentor, did a bunch of shit on your own. But after that, you know, you sounds like you interned under a guy, you said Paul Janka.
No, I actually interned under Honest Signals.
Oh, like Honest Signals.
Another YouTuber.
Okay. Yeah. At what point did you transition from like a student to a coach, and how did you start your business?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think I came into this so organically. It's just, I don't know. I think some people, like, for example, you probably resonate with this so much. And for me, I think this is the number one way I can give value in my lifetime is this kind of stuff, because I have a story that resonates with people. And not only am I good at this, because there's a lot of people who are kind of good at getting girls, you know, I'd say probably, you know, 2% to 5% of guys are in the world probably are good with girls, but not all of them have gone through the process of sucking with girls, having shitty beliefs, shitty habits, and then transforming their lives to the place they want to be. That's what's important. But anyway, yeah. So when I started working with him, I was like a year into game. I think I'd slept with maybe 20 girls at that point. So not that many. And I still had room to improve. And I basically just absorbed a lot of what I was like a sponge, right? I just, every time I hung out with him, I would take a note on the stuff that he was doing. And just through time and experience around him, plus like doing it on my own. And also my main wingman during that time was actually another guy, but he was he was equally as solid. And yeah, it was just the process of years of like, you know, going out and improving. And I think a huge step was actually filming myself. If you don't want to film yourself, you can just get audio clips, which may sound weird, but it's literally like your brain is not encoding your memory so much when you're like in the zone and you're just like enjoying the moment. And then if you're like me, I barely remember anything. Like after an interaction, I remember very, very few things. So in order to like be objective with yourself, you have to record your interactions and like play it yourself with your wingman, with other people, with your mentor, et cetera, and get feedback. And then I did that a lot. And then, yeah, I started assisting him with the coaching. And then I ended up just doing some programs on my own. And then some people preferred his style more than my style. Some people prefer my style more than his style. So I basically did my own coaching there. And then, yeah, at a certain point, I just realized, like, I think at the time that I quit working there, my content was generating 3 times the amount of views as his content. So I was like, I'm not, my percentage that I'm making this business is not reflective of that at all. So I'd rather just, even though I helped build that channel from like 20K to 100K, you know, I'd rather just do it on my own. He also wasn't very big on self-development, which is a thing that's huge for me. And I think it's huge for a lot of students, a lot of just people in general. And I just wanted to express my views on things that I couldn't when I was working there. So yeah, I started my own business in 2017 and just hustled my ass off for the first 6 months. I basically worked 16-hour days, didn't take one day off.
What were you doing? Filming content?
Filming, traveling, coaching boot camps, doing everything that's necessary to get a business started, the branding, the fucking logos, the video editing, like literally every single thing, you know?
How did you have a team? How was your,
I had one videographer, that I was with during that first time. Cause basically when I left the company, I basically in a couple weeks time, and toured Europe and did like some programs there and then came back to the US. And yeah, so it was like every single day. I know some people's businesses, what's it called? Who's the guy who started Microsoft? Bill Gates. He said, I think it was from the time he was like 20 to 30 or something, he never took one day off, something like this. But I think every business that people start, it's basically, it'll have a phase like that. And could continue. Depends on how big you want to make your company, right? But for me, I'm fully happy just like running a company that makes this like equivalent of like a doctor salary a year, you know? For me, it's more about the impact than it is about the money, for sure.
Right. Yeah, it's a cool lifestyle business.
Why are you like
if you don't know? I always enjoy, I think the reason I kind of made this my business is because I was just doing it anyways, and I needed a way to support my lifestyle to, you know, basically go and hit on more girls and have more fun. And guys were asking me for advice and coaching, so it just kind of naturally fit. And it's important, like you said, you have to have gone through the process to be able to help other guys do it, of course. And so tell me about your travels. Where'd you go? You're traveling for like a year, you said?
Yeah. So I've been to 27 countries and I've run programs in I don't know how many cities, maybe 40 cities or something like this. So it's not that crazy, but it's still like, I guess I've been to a country for every year old I am. That's kind of interesting. But so I've been to England, France, Belgium, Germany, Sweden, Ukraine.
What were the top three countries for in terms of women? And then if you have other categories that you rate them on too, I'd be curious to hear that.
Yeah, so I'd say Colombia probably for women. What's another one that I think was really good? I did like Spain, but it's not, they don't have the same kind of vibe as Colombia. Dude, honestly, I feel like I've been spoiled living in, one thing that a lot of people internationally don't get is that if you're in like Canada or the US, you have access to every single ethnicity in the world. Yeah. Right? So it's like like, dude, in 1 week you can, like, for example, like a couple of weeks ago, I have this girl with like anime, this like Chinese girl with like anime tits. She's a gymnast and she looks like fucking like cartoonish, like it's so pornographic.
Because you're in Miami now, and Miami's like the most cultural diverse city in the US, maybe.
Yeah, I think New York's more so, but Miami's an interesting mix. New York's like
shit.
Yeah, that's true.
No.
Man, I don't know if I'm giving a good answer to this, but I think Colombia was solid. I haven't been to Brazil. I've heard it's solid.
What do you think of Ukraine?
What I think of what?
Ukraine.
I think the girls are beautiful, and it's very similar to Colombia in that they take care of their appearance and their clothing and their makeup and stuff. I just, for me, most of the girls there are not my type because I like girls with like big asses. And the one thing I hate about Ukraine is I met one girl with an epic ass, and she was a model, and she left the next day after I met her, and we had a great conversation and everything was fucking fine. And then she left the next day, and yeah. So I basically, yeah. And I have heard that it does take longer to date the girls in Ukraine in general. But I think from what you've done, like setting up your lifestyle around it. And like you said, it's like, it's similar to Colombia in that if you go to Ukraine, like you just instantly are more high value to a certain extent. So
yeah, I call it a home game and away game, you know? If you've got,
I call it penis arbitrage.
Sorry, I had to just. My dog wanted to go up. Okay.
Yeah, I was saying I call it a home game and away game. But one thing that guys think they can do, it's like they're sucking in America, so they go, oh, I'll just go to Colombia or I'll go to Ukraine and I'll be good. But nah, that's not going to happen. You have to already have game where you're at. You want to take that shit on the road.
Yeah, and even if a girl likes you, let's say on a dating app or something, if you don't know the skill game to convert that, then you're just kind of wasting your time too. And also, when you do learn the skill at home, you get the good home game. Then when you go abroad, it's like, it's insane. Yeah.
Much better. Yeah, man. So one thing that I noticed is really cool about your channel is you do not hold back when it comes to like posting videos, talking about sex, talking about hooking up, banging, blah, 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 where I think a lot of guys maybe get in the industry. I mean, for me, for sure, especially when I first started, like, I was like, I don't know if I want to be so out there with my content. You know, what if my mom sees it or other people, friends and that sort of thing. I feel like that's held me back a little bit from posting some of the better shit. What allowed you to kind of get over that and just be like, fuck it, here it goes?
I feel like I have like a few people in my family I really like, and yeah, I'm not so concerned about, I don't know. Maybe it's just that I think it's definitely gradually a letting go and like not caring, but also I just always thought it was cool. I never thought, with starting out, I did have some sexual shame or whatever, just based on religion. And then, yeah, once I realized that religion was made up, it really helped.
Yeah.
When I realized, and literally, if you look at it in a broader context, it's ideas of the agricultural age are going to reflect things about maintaining property. Your women are your property. Like dissuade people from having sex and to a certain point. Things like this. But if you look at it, like, I don't know if you ever read Sex at Dawn.
Yeah.
Which, not everything in that book is accurate, but it's very solid. And we're getting closer to more of a hunter-gatherer ideal, which is like women and men are equal. They're able to be sexual with each other, and that there's no real reason to attach shame to that. So we're getting rid of like the agricultural age ideas. But anyway, what the fuck? See, this is what I'm talking about, rants. Religion.
Forgot what I asked you. Oh, yeah. Basically, what allowed you to just post so freely? And
oh, yeah. So I
shut you down?
Well, I mean, I don't post anything too crazy. And like the most sexual thing I have is probably like my AVN video. And even that I blurred and censored and stuff. What do you mean? Like what particular video?
I don't really have any particular one. I just think you do a really good job of posting, you know, high quality content and, you know, putting in like infield footage, just real shit, you know, cause there's.
Yeah. Cause dude, everyone can do talking head stuff. And I realized like for me starting out and also like up until now, unless I see someone's infield, I don't really buy it. For you, I've seen you have a group of like 37 girls around you and I've seen some of the stuff you've done. And also I know a guy named, you know, Calvin, the guy who you, do you know my friend Calvin? He's from LA. I think he went on that boat trip with you.
Oh yeah, Calvin. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm good friends with Calvin. He told me about you.
Nice. Yeah, he was on the podcast, but he used a pseudonym. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
we don't know his last name, so that's cool. You know, Calvin. Yeah. How'd you guys become friends?
So I was part of a group called the Centurions, and it was like
okay.
Guys with like 100 leg count or more. Which is funny. And yeah, so I knew him from that. And then dude, during the quarantine, that guy and I we played PUBG and we got like top 50 in North America in PUBG. It's called PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. It's like a game.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, now I just play chess with him and go on trips and stuff. But yeah, cool guy. Right.
I've been getting into chess recently too.
Nice. But yeah, like to answer your question before I go on another weird tangent. It's like your question was, it was, why am I okay posting some stuff or something like this?
I was basically like, you know.
Oh, yeah. So when I was starting out, in order to know if someone was legit, I wanted to see their infield because anyone can talk about something, but not everyone can prove it. And so I just put up like literally everything, pulls, dates, me hanging out with girls, I don't know, all of it. And then I like the thing called there's a marketing principle called obnoxious proof, and it's like in order to have someone like have no doubts about your product, you have to have obnoxious amounts of proof. So I'm building up a client results page. My goal by the end of the year is to have 100 student video testimonials on the site, just so if anyone is unsure if this works for them, they see, oh wait, a black guy did it. Oh wait, an Indian guy did it. Oh wait, a guy lost his virginity. They boom all the way down the line. It just like slaps them in the face. So yeah. I want to show that not only do I know what I'm talking about, but I can also demonstrate it. I'm not just a good coach, but I can actually do the thing. Cause that's the thing. I think some people are great at game, but horrible at teaching it, right? Some people are great coaches, but their game is like not the greatest, right? So yeah, I ideally aspire to be both, right? Not saying I'm the best in the world, but you know, I aspire to create really high quality content. Yeah.
Yeah, no, man, you've been putting out a lot of good shit. So I was talking to my brother this morning. I told him I was interviewing you. He's like, oh, no shit. I watch that guy all the time. So
nice. Yeah, I listened to a couple of your podcasts. I listened to the one with our mutual friend. And then I listened to one with some guy, I think you went on a road trip with him, and he was talking about how he has such an interesting day game strategy. It was like, he'd like park his BMW in front of the girl, like on the road, and then like jump out. Oh, hey, like just happened to be. And he had such great advice for like older guys that, you know, if your looks kind of depreciate a bit, you know, after the time when you're 35 to 40 or whatever, then you just have to compensate in other ways, more wealth, more status, like maybe, you know, keeping up with your fitness better, stuff like this. That was a really good podcast.
Yeah, he's great. He's like a real close friend of mine. We did that road trip around Eastern Ukraine, which was ridiculous, to say the least. And I think he approached every single girl he saw. Like he did not miss a single fucking, and he would just stop his car on the middle of like the main, you know, drag in whatever city we were in on the flashers, and like didn't even care. He'd just fucking park on the sidewalk, park in the middle of the street, block traffic. He just gives zero fucks.
And that's honestly one of the best ways to go about day game, because you're not going to see, unless you're in a city like, for example, Miami. I don't know if you've ever been to Miami, but there's a park called Brickell, and it's just so many hot, like you get into an interaction with one girl and then three hot girls walk by. It's like, it's that crazy. Whereas usually like most places you're like looking around, you got your fucking binoculars, and half the time you're just like scouting for girls. Yeah, but if you're if you don't have a situation like that, yeah, get on a bike, get on a fucking scooter, go for a run, bring your dog out, try to like be the street sweeper, like, you know, right. getting all those girls, collecting the leads.
The faster you're moving, the faster you're going to see more girls. So
yeah,
I have a buddy who does day game on one of those like one wheel things, but it's the one you stand on, so it looks kind of fucking lame, but whatever. How about you? In terms of like online dating, day game, social circle stuff, how did you experience like your game transition over the years, and what's your kind of go-to these days?
Oh, I'd say most of the girls I meet are just from night game.
Yeah.
I find it to be like the most efficient way, at least in America, to meet girls, because they're just concentrated girls. You know, they're over 18. There's so many hot girls in one area, and then all you have to do is go up and have a great vibe. And it's so easy to get into a great state when you have like so many people to talk to. And yeah, you create so much. So there's this part of influence when he says, scarcity is most pronounced when it's newly realized and competitive. And when you're in an environment where you talk to a girl, one of the girls I'm currently seeing, we talked in the line, we waited in the line for like an hour. And then afterward, I'm like, yo, listen, hey, go have a great night. I'm going to, you know, maybe we'll bump into you later. So she messages me after I got her number on the line. She's like, I see you cheating on me already, hubby. And like, I'm talking to other girls. So she realized like that I have options. And then finally toward the end of the night, she's like, she just messaged me, find me. I couldn't find her. And I'm just like making out with a girl. And then she comes off the dance floor and like sees me like with this other girl. And I'm like, oh shit, actually that's my wife. I got to go. And I left with the girl that I liked. So it's just, it's so fun. It's so good for working on your improv skills. And it's just like, once you understand the basic skills of game, you understand how to seed the pool, lead the pool, and deal with objections, make the girl feel comfortable around you. You can essentially pull every night you go out. It's not saying that you're going to bang every time you go out, but you can bring girls back every time you go out, essentially.
Yes. Yeah, and that's, I'm a huge like proponent of knowing what the after party plan is going to be before you go out,
yeah,
and having that ready. And if you've got wingman and other people that are like helping you, like, you know, seed that, yeah, and create that. Yeah. Every single night, if you have a cool after party, like you're going to get girls back. And
yep,
you know, like you said, yeah, every night. But it's I mean, I think I started out basically doing a shitload of night game when I got into the game. When I was like 23, I lived in Pacific Beach, San Diego, and I was already going to the bars and basically just getting shit faced every night with my buddies, but never approaching girls. I was just like totally too shy to do that. So I just get shit faced. Sometimes I'd meet a girl, but usually I wouldn't approach. So game, you know, just kind of watching YouTube videos as well, and just kind of learning. Actually, even YouTube at that time was like barely getting started, but just like listening to audio shit and kind of doing what you were doing, just going out and trying shit. But I feel like night game, well, now it's obviously tough because of the pandemic. But a lot of guys just don't have a wingman. Did you always have like a wingman, or did you ever go out alone or do any of that shit?
Yeah, I think everyone should get a wingman. It's something that helps so tremendously. You can go out alone. You can rock it alone. For night game, you just kind of have to befriend more people and then be like, yeah, my friends are over there. And you wave, like, you can right. do stuff like that. But honestly, just get a wingman. It makes everything so much easier. And, my buddies and I, we have a thing where we just pretend each other is God. Like if one of us has like the hot girl that's our type or whatever, we're trying to pull, everyone just literally becomes like a beta in front of the guy. Like, oh my God, he's like the best. Like, thanks for giving me that job, man. And like, we literally call, everyone will come up and be like, yo, I'm his assistant. So literally I have an assistant, but I will literally tell my assistant's girl that like, yeah, I'm his assistant. I'm so proud to have this job. And like, he's doing so much wonderful things for me during the quarantine and blah, blah, blah. So we basically just like hype everyone up, you know, like a good wingman's like a good hype man.
Yeah. It's so important. I mean, I've pulled so many girls from my friends, just basically being a hype man, approaching for them, saying crazy shit, just going up to the girl and being like, hey, my buddy over there thinks you have a crush on him. I wanted to come over and make sure. He's got like a 2-inch dick. He's not very smart, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So I wanted to clarify like the question you asked. Basically, I do like, I actually do track like how I meet girls, and about 30% is from Night Game. I do everything, and I think people should do everything. That people tend to fall into like these, you know, us versus them camps, where it's like, I'm the social circle guy, I'm the, you know, I follow the online game only. It's like, they all have their place. Online game in America for me is kind of like a joke. Like, it just, it's not that great. There's like SA. I don't know if you know what that is.
Oh, yeah. But
that you're not going to find. You're not going to find like the nicest, best quality girls on there.
Definitely not.
Day game's inefficient, but you can do it throughout your day. Night game is efficient, but it's only Friday and Saturday nights pretty much.
Talking about seeking arrangements. That's SA.
Yeah. And then for social circle, it's great, but you don't want to rely on only having like a get together or a party, right? It's like, oh fuck, I can't get laid until I throw a party 6 weeks from now or whatever, you know? It's like, they're all fun to do, but I think the most consistent way to get new lays is actually Night Game. No cap.
I would agree. Especially if you get pretty good at it, you kind of learn the ropes and understand the process.
Yeah, and you don't have to pull. Like I think my past three girlfriends have been through Night Game numbers. And for people concerned, like, oh, there's only like a certain type of girls that go out at night. No, I've met lawyers, doctors, girls who are studying psychology, professional models who are like really wholesome and good natured.
You were talking about that parody thing that you're going to do about different pickup guys. I think the one that you can't meet cool girls at night, they're all sluts.
Yeah. What about this doctor? Whore, complete whore.
But she only went out this one time this month because her friend's birthday. Whatever. I don't believe she's a whore.
Yeah,
you hear that all the time. And
I think online game is very good outside the US though. It depends on the country, but yeah. Certain countries just rock for online game. But there's also the downside of that is that you don't know how hot the girl actually is. It's more messaging. You don't stand out from other guys. Whereas like if you can go in person with a girl and just have like strong direct eye contact, maintain a solid frame, crack some jokes, lead it forward, like you stand out from 99% of guys. And you're not just like a person inside her phone, inside a dating app, inside the messages. You're an actual real person, flesh and blood person that she met.
Yeah.
So it's a lot easier to follow up when she knows that she actually gets along with you. And yeah, in that way, you also have number and Instagram. She can build up passive attraction. She already knows she likes you. You can maintain the passive attraction through Instagram, and you have the direct form of communication through number. And it's just, it's fucking over.
Get it from both sides. Speaking of Instagram, what are your thoughts on like how important do you think it is? How do you kind of teach your students who say like, oh, I have no pictures or I don't know what to post. You know, what's your kind of approach to getting some guy affiliated with Instagram, and how important do you feel like it is?
I just hit him from a pragmatic standpoint. It's like, do you want to fuck more girls? Yes. Do you realize that not every girl can meet you within 3 days of you meeting her? I guess. Well, do you understand that the most effective tool for time bridging until you can meet her again is Instagram? They're like, oh, I feel like that clicks in a lot of people's heads. And also for more busy guys, I just tell them how they can automate stuff on it so that they don't have to spend all their time on it. But it, literally, I just use it as like almost a kind of like a LinkedIn almost or something for pussy, I guess. It's like, you know, if a girl sees that she has mutual friends with you, she feels more comfortable. She can also go through my personal one is Austin's Life, like this. If you guys want to check it out, AustenSlife. Actually, fuck, I should not have people check that out. It doesn't matter.
Tell me which one to post, and I'll.
I just post my professional one because the problem is when they follow the personal one, that there's an overlap between that and the professional one. So when girls follow me, it says like recommended, and it's like my other one. They're like, oh, is this you too? And they click on that, and they're like, oh, dating coach, huh? And I'm like, oh.
That's what I was gonna ask you. How much does your dating shit cock block you?
It does to a certain extent, but if I bring it up, like usually I bring it up like the third time I see a girl and she like already knows who I am. You know, I don't like, it's not, everyone has stuff about them that you don't want the girl to know right off the bat. Like, I don't know. Like if someone has like a fucking hemorrhoid or something, you're not going to be like, hey, my name's John and I have a hemorrhoid. You know, there's certain things that you leave to later because it requires her to know you and like you as a person. And then you can bring it up in a way where it's from that point of view and you've already slept with her and it's like, she already knows you're a cool guy. Yeah. But yeah, I just have these, I upload a photo like maybe once a fucking 2 weeks or a month or something. I don't post all the time, but when I do give it to girls, they go, holy shit. Like this guy has a cool dog. He travels, you know, he has, you know, high value friends. He throws parties. Like, they just know a lot more about me that if I had to communicate that over text would be very try hard because now people are using this. And yeah. And I do agree to a certain extent that it is going to make you slightly more depressed. Probably. It'll make you, you know, but it depends how much time you're spending on the app. And if you're not a faggot who compares yourself to everyone, like realize that you have worth as a human being and you don't need to compare yourself to anyone else. Also, I'm working on a video right now. It's on what women actually want based on science, because men, this is an example. It was like 55% of men are happy with their penis size, but 85% of women are happy with their partner's like penis size, basically. So it's like women care less about dick size than you do. Women care less about muscles than you do. And they did this effect where they found that men think that they should, the discrepancy between what women view as the optimal body for men and what men view as the optimal body for men is a 30 pounds of muscle difference. It's like, what? So anyway, yeah, learn what women are actually attracted to. About
that. He's like, this girl doesn't like me because I'm not jacked. I'm like, trust me, man, it's not that. He's in pretty good shape.
And you learn real quick, if you show a girl like a different body types on a chart, they always pick one that's like, you're like, what? Like, it's like a guy who's just like moderately muscled and like not super low body fat. Like just looks like an average bro. She's like, yes, this is optimal.
I just interviewed a really interesting interview about a guy who got a penis enlargement by basically injecting like filler into it. And he went from like, I don't know, it's kind of normal average size to like a Red Bull can. And he was like, yeah, a couple of women like didn't even notice. Huge difference. But
another thing is women suck at spatial recognition, like straight up. Like I think that is the biggest difference in men and women intelligence is men are much better spatial reasoning. So like you could show them a 5-inch dick and be like, it's 8 inches. And they're like, okay. Or right. You're like, you know, you're 5'10" and you say you're 6 foot and they're like, okay. Like they don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a spatial reason.
Never thought. Yeah, and I had a video on this, like the one thing women want, and I went into women don't just want one thing. They don't just want a big dick. They don't just want a rich guy. They don't just want a model looking guy. They just want a guy who's generally attractive. Like that's who women ultimately want to be with. They want to be with the full package, but a guy who's attractive in general, and he doesn't need to be a 10 on everything. In fact, it's probably better that you're an 8 on everything rather than a 10 in some areas and a 2 in another area.
Yeah, I agree. It's I've always found it interesting that like women love projects, you know? They love to find a guy that, you know, he's not totally awesome in every area, but they can, you know, they can influence them and kind of turn them into their ideal guy. And I think guys can do that for girls too.
Yeah, and like the you know, like the ideal, like the female narrative is like, like those books that are about romance for women, romance novels, they all are like men who are badass, like alpha guys that they end up having like, yeah, like teach to be a little bit more sensitive and like kind of tame almost to like be a provider. So it's like, first he's the lover, then he's the provider.
Yeah.
And there is an aspect of sexuality, not just in humans, but other species too, where it's like, if she gets the alpha guy seed, like, and then she has a provider guy to raise the kid, that's like a decent solution. But ideally, optimally, she wants it all from one guy.
Yeah. Yeah, she wants to tame the player always.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's an important thing that a lot of guys, they're like, aren't you worried about coming across as a fuckboy or just kind of looking like an asshole? And I'm like, no, not at all. I'm just being me, being authentic. And the more I've come across as that, the more she's going to want to try to, you know, make me not that, turn me into a project.
Yep.
I'm sure you run into that quite a bit, given your reputation and whatnot when girls when girls meet you out there.
Yeah, I've been using for Instagram as well. That's what's really good is to send voice messages. And you can literally do this straight up to girls you've never met. But ideally, obviously, you've met them, you grab their Instagram, and then you're communicating a lot through voice messages. And it just conveys so much more than just purely text. Because number one, it reminds them of who you are in person because they get a little bit more of that color and that personality in your voice. And also, you could just make your voice like put on the like seductive voice and you say, yeah, so... yeah, it was really cool meeting you. And I guess we'll get that bubble tea sometime this week. Like you can just put like the more seductive voice on and then they try to like, you know, match it with like the feminine voice. And then it's like so nice. And you guys just compliment each other's voices. And at least through messages on the messages app on iPhone, like you can tell when girls are saving your messages.
And oh,
like,
really?
Yeah. So you can see like, damn, they like when they really like it. But yeah.
So that's you're one doing it been... through Instagram and through iMessage.
Yeah, I batch it because not everyone has their, especially if girls are hot, you just go into the request tab and you don't even just go to their request. You go to like, they have to hit all requests to see you. Otherwise it's top requests. So it's like, you're in so many different folders that you can kind of get lost. So typically the more followers a girl has, the more I like to use messages or WhatsApp if you're outside the US.
You'll message them through Instagram and you've gotten responses from that, even though it is going into that general priority folder, not priority folder.
Yeah. But it works obviously better with girls who have like, you know, 1200 followers or less or whatever. And a lot of girls just, they spend so much time on Instagram anyway, that they're going to check it regardless. And that's the other thing is that the Instagram is primarily like a female app. Like it's mostly women on there. Versus like YouTube, that's mostly men. Like men, we want to long form, learn about something, listen to a discussion. Girls are just like want to see shit and it makes them more comfortable and they can see who you are as well.
How about TikTok? Have you done anything on there?
I haven't, and I don't think it's not going to replace Instagram because it's not easy to do. It's not like just putting up a photo, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And you don't really see, I mean, if you go to someone's page, you just see all their videos and it's more involved. I feel like it's more friction than if you just go to Instagram and you know, watch.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter. Even if it does replace it, you know, you just do the same thing, right? The same thing that applied on MySpace applies to Facebook and now Instagram and maybe TikTok or whatever else that evolves. It's just showing ideal masculine qualities through your photos, showing a cool life that she can become a part of. And then, yeah. And then moving it forward toward meeting up with her, not becoming her pen pal.
Any tips in terms of, you know, you're out at a bar, you meet a girl, you get her number and your Instagram, I'm guessing. And what order do you do that? How do you go about that?
Number is always first.
Number first.
With the Instagram, you can fade away into the mist. Yeah. But number is so direct. It's like it comes through notifications.
Through text, or you ask in person as well?
If I have an interaction that's longer than like 2 minutes, I'll get both. Yeah, for sure. Yep. Passive attraction and direct communication. The one, the 1-2 punch. The 1-2 punch for her to say, sorry, I have a boyfriend. No, I'm just kidding.
What was that thing you mentioned in the very beginning of the interview? Something like the Helen Fisher thing or something?
Yeah, there's the Helen Fisher brain types. And they're like personality types with brain types. Very interesting to look into. It's like dopamine, serotonin, testosterone, and estrogen. It's like different cities are more, have more preponderance of one or versus the others.
So you find out what type you are and it tells you different city types and different how you match up with people and that sort of thing.
She just mentioned that on different things. Like, well, the West Coast is more dopamine, which kind of makes sense because who are the people that are like moving out west? They like want adventure and new things. But I think also another great way to understand people is like the five, big five personality traits. So like, you know, for example, if you want to find out a girl who would probably cheat on you, she has high openness to experience and low conscientiousness.
Yeah.
So she doesn't really care and she wants new experiences. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's an interesting
one. I haven't heard of that one. The five personality traits. Is there
the big five?
Big five. What about, I'm sure you've done the Myers-Briggs,
INTP, yeah.
ESTP, all that shit.
Which one are you?
I'm a ESTP. Yeah, ESTP, which is like, what is the?
Yeah, extroverted, sensing over something.
Sensing over thinking. And
intuition. And then thinking over feeling and then perceiving over judging.
Yeah. Most guys that get into game are INTJs or ENTJs. So like introverted, like rational thinking.
Yeah. Thinking. Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And that's why those cool exercises to get you out of your head are so important, as we talked about. So where can dudes find you, learn more about you? What shit should they follow?
Just YouTube, Austin Summers. It's probably the best spot.
I'll put links to your site and everything. Yeah, man, it's been awesome having you on. Thanks for coming.
Cool. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. If you want more, go to innerconfidence.com and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast for the latest episodes.